Thank you for visiting derrickdunn.org. Hope you be blessed.
And today I want to talk on the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is something that Jesus talked a lot about. And, you know, we talk about a kingdom. What is a kingdom? Someone tell me, what is a kingdom? Yes, we have a kingdom. What happens? In order to have a kingdom, you must have a king. Right? What does a king speak of? It's the ruler, right?
Yes.
And who's our ruler? So Jesus is the ruler, he's the King of kings, he's the Lord of lords, he's the ruler of the kingdom. But what else do we have in a kingdom? You have to have a king, right? But what does the king do? The king establishes order. Alright? What is order? It speaks of authority. You know, it speaks of the laws of God, or we could say the culture. There's a way of life, laws that order people. There's order in a kingdom. Also in a kingdom, we have function. How is a kingdom successful? There's function in the kingdom. All right, everyone serving under the king, walking in authority, submission, someone said, to the laws of God, to the culture of God, to the ways of God. Then function. What does function speak of? It's knowing our place. The Bible says, Paul said, let everything be done in what? Decency and in order, right? So there's order in the kingdom of God. When everyone's in order, what happens? We're all in our place. Doesn't the Bible say that we're many members of a body, right?
Yes.
All members are one body. Who's the head?
Jesus.
Then we have all the different parts, many members of the body, every joint supplying, right? Now, as we have a kingdom and we begin to come in and have an understanding of the order of God, what will happen? We have proper function. Blessing takes place. And that's what we want to see. In Matthew 4, verse 23, Jesus went about all Galilee. What did he do? He taught in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He healed all sicknesses, diseases among the people. His fame spread all throughout Syria, and he brought to him all that were sick and afflicted by various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics. He healed them. Great multitudes followed him. So as we begin to see the kingdom of God in operation, Jesus knew his position, he knew his place, he was in order, he knew his function. What was his function? He was the anointed one. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. He has anointed me to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, set at liberty the then bruised. He knew his function, right? Blessing began to flow. What was the blessing? The power of God. Healings began to flow. Now, not only did Jesus operate in this, but we're called to operate in this. Tell your neighbor, he's talking to you. Matthew 24, verse 14. What did Jesus say? He said, this gospel of the kingdom, which gospel? The same one he preached. Be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. What does the Bible say? When will the end come? When we're preaching the gospel. So don't worry about when he's coming. Just be busy preaching. So when he comes, you get rewarded for doing what he told you to do.
Yeah.
Amen. But the gospel of the kingdom is to be preached. And as the gospel is preached, what will happen? It's a witness to the nations, and then the end will come, because all have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew 6, verse 33, another verse. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that we have need of will be added to us. So as the gospel is first in our life, we're seeking first his kingdom. And right, being in right relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing our order, our function, blessing flows. All the things we have need of are added to us. But we must have proper order. We must have proper function in the kingdom of God if we want to see the blessing. And sometimes we can get angry with God. Well, why isn't the blessing flowing? Why is it that other people are getting blessed and I'm hearing their testimony and I'm not having my own testimony? God is not a respecter of persons. We know that to be true. And many times the problem is not with the king. We have to examine our lives. And didn't Paul tell us to do that? Examine yourself in the sight of God. Amen? We have to examine ourselves. Are we in proper order? Living according to the order of God, the kingdom of God. Are we in our proper place and our function? And if we are, then the blessing should be flowing. But if it's not, the problem is never with the king. It's never with God. Amen. Who's the problem with? Our cell group members. You know, the buck stops with us, right? Amen. We have authority over our lives. Now, Jesus and Luke taught us to pray. He said, when we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he goes on. But how are we to see his kingdom coming? We must have proper order. We must be in proper function to see blessing. Amen. And he begins to deal with those issues. The issues of bringing order into our life if there's unforgiveness. The issues of looking to God as the source of our life. Seeking first the kingdom of heaven. If there's proper order, we have proper function, then we will see blessing coming in our life. Amen? Luke 10 and verse 19. Jesus said this, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you." In order for us to walk in the authority that God has given, in order for us to see the power operating in our life, we must have proper order, we must have proper function, and know our place. Amen? Amen. Now, as we look through the Bible, we see there were those who got out of order. There are those that got out of the position that God had called them to. We don't have proper order. We don't have proper function. The blessing of God will not be there in our life. Now, there's a great man. His name is David, and he's a man after God's heart. You know, the Bible says that. But how many times you read some? I mean, I used to read David, and I got a little bit troubled with that. David was a man after God's own heart. I mean, God gives him one of the highest praises he could give him. But David was pretty messed up most of the time. Yeah. You know, he had problems with his family. He didn't have order. His family was a mess. And we know the stories. We can look at it. David was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He's supposed to be out at war. And where is he? He's on the rooftop looking at Bathsheba. He's in the wrong place at the wrong time. I mean, David was a guy who struggled with order. David is a guy who struggled with function. You know, but he was still after God's heart. But through the process of time, as David began to set order and function in his life, blessing began to flow. When there was no order, when there was no function, there was no blessing. And we see a story, you know, where David, and he wanted to bring in the Ark of the Covenant. We know the story in 2 Samuel. And I put it up for you. David, he found the Ark of the Covenant. He wanted to see it restored to the house of God, to the temple. He wanted to build the temple. So what did he do? He went out and he built a cart. He said, "Get the cart, guys. Put the Ark on the cart. And let's move it and let's bring it home." We can all read the story. But let me ask you a question. Who was supposed to carry the Ark? The priests. Were the priests carrying the Ark? No. Improper order, improper function, and there was no blessing. What was there? David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from where the Ark of God was, whose name is called by the name the Lord of Hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill in Uzzah, Ohio. The sons of Abinadab drove the new cart. Verse 6, it says, "And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put his hand out to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the Ark of God." Why did God strike him? Because God didn't want to be touched? No, why? Because he was out of order. It says he was struck for his error. He was struck for his error. Improper order. Out of the right function. He was not in the function of a priest. We can look at story after story. You look at Saul. What was really the thing that brought Saul down? We know the root of it was he had more of a fear of man than a fear of God. But what did that fear of man cause him to do? He got out of order. He was called to be the king, not the priest. The prophet was late, right? Remember? And because of the people were making noise, the people were complaining, they wanted to go home. So he stepped out of order, out of the proper function that God had given to him. And what did he do? He offered up the sacrifice. And because of that, the Bible says that the prophet said, God has rejected you this day. God has rejected you this day because he was out of order. So as we want to talk about being in order, what does it speak to us of? Well, order, I wrote here, it speaks of authority. Now in the kingdom, we have authority. There are two types of authority in the kingdom of God. The first type of authority we should all know is divine authority, right? As we're talking on order, there's authority. First type of authority is divine authority. Whose authority is that? God. Speaks of the authority of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the name of Jesus, the authority of the Word of God. This is divine authority. All right, it doesn't change. God has said it, that settles it. All right, divine authority is the authority of God, authority of the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow, every name shall confess Jesus is Lord. Amen. In that name we drive out demons. As we are having proper order in our life, we operate in divine authority. That authority speaks to us, the authority we have as a believer, the authority we have as a minister of the gospel, and in the position that God has called us to be, whether we are a fivefold minister, whether we're a marketplace minister, there's authority. It comes from God. Divine favor that's upon us. Divine authority to function according to how God has called us, right? So in authority, in having order, it also brings us into our calling or in our function. If we don't submit to divine authority, we don't have an understanding of it, we can never function in our calling in the ministry that God has given to us. So you follow me? First kind of authority is divine authority. Second type of authority is what we call delegated authority. Someone say delegated authority.
Delegated authority.
What does that word delegated mean? Given. Who is it given by? God. So God has delegated authority to men and women, right? The Bible says God, Jesus himself, sets in the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. That is a delegated authority. God gives different ones an office in the church. Amen? Spiritual authority that is there. There's deacons and, you know, elders. And he speaks of the different spiritual authority that is there. So there's divine authority and there's delegated authority. But even though authority has been delegated to man, who actually is the one who's given it? It's God. Spiritual authority over us. Because why? All authority is appointed by So once someone's elected, once God allows someone to come into power, guess what? God allowed it. That authority has been given by God. When people are in delegated authority, we have to recognize the authority of God. If our delegated authority is not recognized, then what will happen? We will not have order. There won't be order. And if there's no order, we won't have our proper function. And what will happen then? We don't see the blessing of God. So we need to know our authority. Don't take on authority that God has not given to us, but stay in the authority in the position that God has given to us. We need to get in our calling. Only in our calling, only in our function, there is that authority. But we get out of our function, we lose the authority. History is a great teacher, and there's a great man called William Branham. How many of you heard of him before? William Branham. Phenomenal prophet. I mean, this guy was sharp. He would come and basically he could tell people, the Lord showed me there's somebody that lives on, you know, 5301 Maple Street, and this happened to you. And, you know, he had visions of their mailbox, and, you know, they were there, and God healed them miraculously. And it was real, you know, solid guy. Moved in the voice of healing and had great miracles. And as God was moving the church along, God began to bring out teaching, because the church, you know, without, if you have power without knowledge, it's dangerous. So he began to raise up the teachers. And William Branham felt, I want to be a teacher, because teaching is the in thing now. So he started trying to be a teacher. If you can prophesy that way and move in miracles, just, I mean, that's a great gift. Just do it. Just function in how God has called you to function. But because of whatever reason, or the peer pressure, or the pull of what was happening, the expectation, he tried to become a teacher. And he taught a lot of funny things. You know, even today, people are still following the teachings of William Branham, and they're called Branhamites. and they watch his videos every week, and they believe that he is really the prophet Elijah come back in the flesh, and that he's going to come back again. You think, wow, you know, how can some guy be so on and so anointed and so off? Out of order, out of proper function. So we need to stay in the place that God has given us, stay in the authority that God has given us in the church. Amen? Know our divine authority. Know our delegated authority. Recognize divine authority in others. Recognize delegated authority on others. And if we can just learn to do that, we flow as one army. We flow as one body. There is blessing. Proper function and proper blessing. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 13, in the New Living Translation, he said this: we will not boast about the things done outside our area of authority. We will boast only about what has happened within the boundaries of the work that God has given to us, which includes our working with you. We are not reaching beyond these boundaries when we claim authority over you, as we had never visited you. For we were the first to travel all the way to Corinth with the good news of Christ. What is Paul saying? He's saying he only has authority over the churches that God had given to him. Was he an apostle? Yes. But was he an apostle to everyone? No. He wasn't. And when he came to Jerusalem, we see there was a conflict between him and Peter. He rebuked Peter, but he submitted to Peter also. Peter was the apostle over the Jerusalem church, not Paul. He knew his function. He knew his ministry. I like how it says it in the Message Bible. It makes it even clearer. He says this in the Message version: we aren't making outrageous claims here. We're sticking to the limits of what God has set for us. But there can be no question that those limits reach to and include you. We're not moving into someone else's territory. These are very strong words that are used here, but I think it makes it very clear. We all have a territory. As a cell leader, what's your territory? Your cell group. But you have no right to go into somebody else's cell group and tell them how to run their cell group. Unless you're given that authority. Unless it's been delegated. And just try doing it, you're not going to get a very good response. If you get outside of your authority, you get outside of your position, what will happen? The anointing doesn't function. Because that's not the call of God. That's not the purpose of God. And so that's what Paul was saying. For you in the Corinth, I went to you first. I was there. I'm an apostle. I have authority over this territory, over this sphere of influence. But for those that God has not called me to, I don't have authority over them. Are you following me? Amen? So we need to recognize that place of authority. And only as we are submitted to the authority over us, delegated authority, as we're submitted to the divine authority, will we see that blessing. So it speaks for us in our ministry, knowing our function. You know, and I have authority in the pastoral office. But how many know I'm not in charge of the sound and lighting? I don't go back to the lighting board and say, I don't think the light should be so pink. Can you change it to purple, please? Now, I could do that, but if I do that, I'm out of my authority. I'm out of my anointing. That's not my gift, if you haven't noticed, you know. But I get out of my sphere of influence, and I'm going to get into trouble, and somebody's going to come and talk to me. Why did you instruct them to do this? Are you following me? If there's a problem with the technical system and the staff are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, I don't go directly to them and start ordering the staff around. Why? That is not my sphere of influence. What do? I go and talk to Mr. Suraj. That's the sphere of influence that has been given to him. So we all have to know our place in the body. We all have to know the authority that's been given to us. And as we do that, we also know God only holds us accountable for what he's put us in position over. Right? Aren't you glad that you're not the head of the church?
Yeah.
Amen? You don't take on something that God does not take you to come on. And when you do that, there's joy, there's peace, there's a flow that happens. Everyone is functioning in their part of the body that they're supposed to be functioning, and blessing flows. But we get out of that by an act of our will. We think, hey, you know, I think I'd be a pretty good pastor. I think my realm is business, and I think I know a lot about running an organization. I can run the church. You're out of your sphere of influence. Are you following me? If God hasn't called you to do that, you get into trouble. Now, can we contribute? Yeah, I can go to Suraj. I can go to and contribute. We're brothers, and I can share from my experience, and God will use me to encourage them, just like he used Paul to encourage Peter. But in the end, we don't violate the spiritual authority. We don't get out of the function that God has given us. When order comes, things function. When things function, the blessing flows. Amen? And we can look at the blessing we see in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. David, he was a man of war. What did David want to do? After he had begun to conquer Jerusalem and they'd come there, he wanted to build a temple. And he came to God and said, God, I want to build the temple. And he prepared for it and he gave an offering for it. That was great. But what did God say? He said, you don't get to build the temple. It was not his function. It was not the calling of God. Whose calling was it? Solomon's, right? So David, thank God he didn't go ahead and build the temple or the Bible would be written differently. He would have had some problems. But he stayed in order. He stayed in his proper function. And Solomon came in order. He came in function. And blessing began to flow. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 10, it says, and it came to pass, the priest came out of the holy place. This is when after the temple, the tabernacle was placed in the temple. It says that the cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. As they had proper order, as they were in proper function, they were in their place, they were in the anointing, God began to come with great blessing, and the glory of the Lord began to fill the house. God began to come with such blessing that God was glorified, and it's the glory of God was present. And that's what we want to see in our cell group, amen? That's what we want to see in our lives. That's what we want to see in our church. That's what we want to see in Singapore and in the nations that God calls us to come into. But we must have understanding of the kingdom of God. We must have understanding of authority. And as we have proper order, as we have proper function, the blessing of God will begin to flow. Every time we look in the Bible where they got out of proper order, they got out of proper function, problems happened. They got out of the will of God. God's kingdom come, His will was not being done. And there were problems. We can look at our own lives. As our family is out of order, what does the Bible say? If you can't manage your own household, you can't manage the house of God. You know, and I do a lot of counseling, but if my relationship with Susan is a mess, she doesn't submit to me, she's a strong-headed woman, you know, she, you know, kicks me out of my bedroom and I'm sleeping on the couch all the time. And then you want to come to me for marriage counseling. What advice am I able to help you? What authority do I have? You know, as you're telling me your problems, I say, you think your problems? My wife's worse. You know, you're like, what authority will I have to be able to do that? I won't be able to have authority. If there's disorder in our parenting, our house is not in order, our kids are a wreck. We can't discipline our family. How then can we have order in the house of God? See, we must have order in our own lives. And then we have order and position that God has given to us. Proper order, proper function, in submission to the King of Kings. Through His divine authority, through His delegated authority, we position ourselves for blessing. And just like we saw in the Temple of Solomon, the blessing of God will flow. We'll see the gospel being preached with great impact. Signs and wonders following the preaching of the gospel. Because why? We're connected. We have divine order. As God has called us to the nations, as God has called us to, you know, take the cultural mandate and go into the pillars of society, as we have proper order, we have proper function, we're able to be blessed, we're able to increase. And knowing that place, not trying to be something we're not. If God has called you in the marketplace and you're serving the marketplace and you're doing great in business, you can serve in the house of God as a volunteer. Thank you so much. Amen. You keep our salary low. And you make more. You're more blessed. Why? Because you're in proper function. You're in proper order. And as we do that, there's a grace, there's an anointing for us. If we come to a place where we feel that, oh, we're so frustrated every week, we dread doing what we're doing, then we have to ask ourselves, are we in the call of God? Are we in proper order? Are we functioning where God has called us to function? If we are, the blessing should flow. If we're not, we're frustrated, then please talk to me. You know, make an adjustment so you're happy. People are happy, amen? If an unhappy leader has unhappy people. But as we're happy, there's joy, there's anointing, there's flow. It comes out of us. Yeah, we can get physically tired. Yeah, there's pressures that are there. I'm not talking about that. But there's a joy in what we're doing. There's a life in what we're doing. There's a flow in what we're doing. But there must be that joy. There must be that life. There must be that satisfaction that's flowing in our lives. And the blessing of God. That's what God wants us to have, amen? As we are faithful in the order, in the function that God has given to us, God can expand us. God can add to us. But it comes through our faithfulness. It comes through us learning how to walk and be trusted in the positioning and the authority and the function that God has given us. God is positioning us, God is ordering us, God is setting us in proper function so that greater blessing can come upon our life, in our zone, in our church, and you know, in the nations that God has called us to, in your life personally, as well as in our lives corporately. So did you learn something tonight?
Yes.
Amen. Why don't we just stand on our feet tonight?
We hope you've been blessed. For more information, visit DerekDunn.org and follow him on Twitter as well as Facebook.